Well, we're sure glad to be with you all again.
Yes.
It's such a blessing to serve the Lord and to meet with His people.
Yes.
We just felt like when we first came, it seemed like the Lord started talking to us and giving us a few things. And I sure was glad it was when we first came, because we started wearing out after that. So. We just want to share a few scriptures that are life to us. And I believe the Lord, He just wants to, the Lord has our good in His heart and His mind. And He wants to encourage us in doing His will. I wanted to start in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. And it says here, "For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us." And you know, I have just a simple thought this morning, but I believe that the Lord wants us to know that He is able. And He wants us to commit ourselves to Him. The scripture starts out and it says, "I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day." Then it goes on to talk about things that He's committed to us by the Holy Ghost. And so the Lord has committed to us these words of life. He's committed to us His promises. He's committed Himself. He's committed all that He is. He's committed to you and me. And you know, I believe that when we become one of His children, we commit ourselves to Him. We commit our past to Him. We commit our present to Him. We commit our future to Him. We commit the keeping of our souls to Him. Everything we are, everything we have, we commit to Him. And He says here, I have believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. You know, there's going to come a day at the end, and we all know that, where the Lord's going to come back, and we're going to have to face Almighty God. If you want to say it, it's a terrifying thought in one way, to meet with the God of heaven. We're just men. We could never stand in His presence in this human form. We would just melt. But yet, we have committed unto Him the keeping of our souls. And the Lord wants us to know that He is able to keep what we've committed unto Him against that day. And when we meet Him, to not meet Him terrified, but to meet Him in peace. And to meet Him knowing that He has helped us to be able to keep that we've committed unto Him. Just want to look through a few thoughts and scriptures this morning. In Jude 1 and 24, it says here, "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." Do you know the Lord doesn't expect us to come before Him terrified and with fault of sin in our heart and life? We talk to people regularly that just simply say, "I'm a sinner, just saved by grace." Well, that's a true statement. I was a sinner, but I'm not a sinner now. And you know, the scripture here says, "Unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. You know, I'm just thinking this morning about committing ourselves to the Lord and about Him being able to keep that. If we know that He is able, people commit their money to banks all the time. They go and they just put it in there, and then they don't worry about it because they believe it's safe there, and they believe it's fine and okay. Do you know the Lord wants us to commit ourselves to Him in that way? He wants us to be able to commit ourselves to Him and know that He is able to keep that we've committed unto Him against that day. I want to look at just some different ways and things that the Lord wants us to commit ourselves to Him. And I just pray the Lord would help us this morning and give us the liberty of His Spirit. In Psalms 37 and 5, it says here, I love this scripture. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of Him, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Just a minute. I'm looking. I'm sorry. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, this scripture here, I want to look at just a little bit about what this means. It says, commit thy way. Commit it to the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know what that word commit really means? If you look it up in Strong's and see what the word, now they translated it to say commit. But the word originally, it says a primitive root to roll, literally or figuratively. Commit, remove, roll, roll away, roll down, roll together, run down, trust. That's what this word means. And if you look in Clark's, it kind of brings a little light to this idea. And he says, roll thy way upon the Lord. Probably a metaphor taken from the camel who lies down till his load be rolled upon him. He shall bring it to pass. He will work. Trust in God and He will work for thee. That's the same word that's used in several other scriptures in this kind of context. In Genesis 29:8, it says, till they roll the stone. That's what the same word is used in a number of places in the Old Testament, till they roll it. And so he's really telling us, just roll, commit yourself, put it upon the Lord. Put our burden upon the Lord. And he says here, commit thy way unto Him. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. You know, when people load up a truck, we loaded all kinds of things this week. We put it on there and then that was good. That truck carried it out to Dan's new place, and there was no problem, and I didn't worry about it too much either, except maybe for it jostling around a little. But you know, we rolled it up in there, we set it down, and that was it. You know, that's what the Lord wants us to do, folks. I said this was a pretty simple message. The Lord just wants us to take our way of life, to take our needs, to take our future, to take our fears, to take our past, to take the needs that we have, the things that seem greater than we are, and all the things of life, our own soul. And He wants us to roll it over onto Him and then leave it there and let Him carry it. He said here, commit thy way, or roll your way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And that word trust, what does the scripture say about the man that trusteth in the Lord? Doesn't it say, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord? Yes. You know, the scripture tells us that the man that trusts in the Lord is going to be blessed. Now, the Lord told Abraham one place, he said, because you have done this, he gave him certain promises. And you know, we don't like to think of those things in that way, because you have done this. You know what? The Lord saw Abraham's heart, his love for him, and he said, in blessing, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless thee. That's what it says. And in cursing, I'm going to bless thee. When others around are feeling the wrath of God, I'm still going to bless you. Did you know that the scripture says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord? And he says here, commit your way to the Lord and trust in him. And give it to him. Give our life to him. Don't take it in our own hands. When people feel fear, and when they see what is ahead, and they don't know, and there's it's black, it's dark, it's unknown, and fear grips them, they're liable to do anything. But the Lord says, don't do that. He says, commit. Commit your way. Roll it unto the Lord, and then leave it there. And trust that the truck will carry it. Trust that the Lord will take our burden, and that he will carry it for us. We can actually give him our burdens. We can actually give him our fears and put it upon him. And the Lord will carry it for us safely. So I thank the Lord this morning. I believe that if we, the Lord is looking for a few people in this world. Abraham was one of them. He's looking for a few people that will commit their way unto the Lord. And that will put it upon him and trust in him and take their hands off and live for him. Abraham did that. The Lord said, I want you to get up and I want you to leave this place. And he did not tell him. He said, I'm going to take you to a place you don't know of. And I'm paraphrasing there. Abraham didn't know what was in his future. Do you think he had fears? Was Abraham human? Of course he had fears. Do you think he wondered what is all? Of course he wondered. But you know what he did? He committed himself unto God. And when the Lord called for his son, he just went right about to do it, because his way was committed to the Lord. And he trusted in him. He trusted that the Lord would bring this son back safely. That if he had to sacrifice his son, the Lord would raise him up. And so he trusted all of that. He put it on the Lord. And he got on his donkey and he took off. And he took his son with him and he took with him whatever he needed. And he went, just like the Lord said. You know, the Lord's looking for a few people today that will believe him like that. And that will commit their life unto him and unto his way. Commit thy way, it says, unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. This morning, I really believe the Lord wants us to be willing to just commit to God. Commit it to him. Roll it upon him. I want to look at a few other scriptures. 2 Timothy 2 and 12. We'll just kind of get this in passing. One to two, I'm sorry. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, he tells us, Paul was telling Timothy there, he said, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know that the Lord wants us to know from beginning to end that we are not trusting in our own strength. We are not carrying our own load. We are not living this life in our own way, but he says here, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Lord has committed to us his grace. Now, that word grace is so misunderstood today. It is as if when you hear the word grace, it's supposed to mean this favor that I can live any way I want to and I'll be okay. That's what it is spoken of everywhere. I heard it even last night. Do you know that the word grace, part of that word, it says, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. That's what, and he tells Timothy, he said, Timothy, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know, we're not carrying our load. We're not fighting our battles. We're not doing things on our own, but by the grace of God, by His strength, we pray, we serve the Lord, we search for Him. We don't know the answers. Do we react out of fear and just do whatever? No. We serve Him out of the grace of God. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Listen to this. Now, Timothy, you do this. And he said, those things that you've heard, I want you to commit those to other men. He says, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And so this thing is something that goes from one to another. It spreads like leaven. And our lives begin to work in the Lord. The Lord wanted it to be so, didn't He? And we see that all through the gospel. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to look at several aspects of this. In Romans 8 and 35, look at these scriptures here. Romans 8 and 35. It says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, I want to ask you something this morning. Who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? If we don't cast our burden on the Lord, it can be too heavy for us. If we try to carry our burden ourselves, we can sink and falter by the way. But it says, shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? All of those things, that sword means war. You know, we haven't seen it here on our soil in our lifetime. But I will tell you, there's people across seas that see it every day. Will it separate them? Does it have to separate us from the Lord? Or can we actually, in all these things, commit our way into the Lord and cast ourselves upon Him? Is it possible in those most terrifying experiences to roll your burden on the Lord? Is it possible to still love your enemies? Is it possible for us in the midst of tribulation and distress or persecution to still obey the Bible? Is it possible? If we commit our way to the Lord, it is. If we commit it to Him, if we roll it on Him, well, Lord, you see they just got my stuff. Lord, you see they just said those ugly things about me, and they're not even true. We don't like that, do we? And so humanity retaliates, doesn't it? But not in the Lord. Because when the Lord is carrying our life, when our way is committed unto the Lord, and when our thoughts are His thoughts, and when we fill ourselves with His Word, see, He wants this to be living, He wants this to be living within us. He wants it to be a reality where our life is the Lord's life, and the things that happen to us, He allows, and it doesn't have to separate us. It doesn't even have to trouble us any more than we let it trouble us. He says here, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. That was Paul's writing. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. And when Paul's time came, in fact, in Acts, when he went over, he was going toward Rome or whatever, and he was leaving, and he told them, I won't see your face anymore, and they wept, and all of these things, and he was like, it's all right. You know what? He was committed. His way was committed to the Lord. The things that it was committed. His life was committed to the Lord. I really believe this morning, saints, if we will commit our way to the Lord, it will solve a lot of problems. It'll make us live longer. It'll make us a lot better witness to those around us. It will make people want what we have if we commit our way to the Lord. I believe that. I believe the way of a Christian is a very desirable way to live. But if we carry our own burdens, nobody's going to want that. If we carry everything right here, no, I'll take that stuff out there one at a time. I'm going to walk the whole way. I'm carrying it myself. I can't possibly put this down and put it on that trailer. I'm going to carry it. I'm going to make sure it gets there. You know what? We can do that, can't we? And we do if we're not careful. But there is no witness in that. There is no strength in that. And so he goes on to say, listen to this. I love this part of the scripture. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. What is more than a conqueror? What is a conqueror? One that takes territory, don't they? They overcome the enemy and they win, don't they? Well, what is more than that? Well, what is there more than that? I've pondered that so many times. What is more than that? I have to believe we come home with the loot. We come home with the goods out of it. It didn't harm us. We didn't lose in it. We were more than conquerors. We didn't come home all beat up and not able to function anymore. Well, we won, but really who won? One's dead and one's not. One's barely alive. No, a conqueror, more than a conqueror. You know, when the Israelites went into the land of Canaan, they conquered in the might of the Lord, and they just moved into houses that was already made for them. Is that real? I believe it is. There's things that the Lord, we have to fight battles in the Lord's strength. But the Lord wants to give us some things, folks, that sometimes we don't realize. And he wants us to have those things this morning. And so we're more than conquerors. Those folks, when you read those Old Testament battles, I remember one of them, it says they were 3 days in gathering the jewels and the gold and all of that. 3 days. Now, I would say that was more than conquering. That was a little more than just winning the battle. They came home with all kinds of loot, all kinds of good stuff. And this morning, saints, let's commit ourselves to the Lord. I believe if we will, I believe we'll be more than conquerors. We'll be more than just winning. We'll actually gain from every battle that we're in. We'll come home with something very precious, very valuable. Again and again, from every battle of life, I believe the Lord made it that way. That's His promise this morning. And listen to what He goes on to say. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Sometimes life is more than death at times. So neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, you know, we said a while ago, count Him able. Count the Lord able. There is nothing able to separate us from the love of Christ. The love of God, is there? There's nothing that we can count that's able, that's more able than God is. There isn't anything like that, is there? Count Him able this morning. He is able to keep us, but there is nothing able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And saints, this morning, that's why I say commit ourselves to God. Commit. Take our hands off. Let Him have it. What shall separate us? Will a thief separate us? Will an imposter, will a hypocrite separate us from the love of God? Will something we don't understand separate us from the love of God? No. I'm persuaded that in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us this morning. Just a few little thoughts here. I believe the Lord wants to build ourselves up in on your most holy faith, it says in Jude.
Yes.
I want to look on down John 21:2. Listen to, this is quite a little story here, John 21:2-6. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael in Cana of Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. That's quite a mix, isn't it? When you get that bunch together. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? You think he knew? They answered him, no. And he said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Just want us to think about this little story. These disciples were out there fishing all night. You know they were tired when they came in. It's work to put the nets out and fight the waves. And they didn't have big motors like we do things. They were working. These men were working. And they came in tired. And the Lord asked him, How have you fared? I don't have anything. We haven't took a thing. And he said, cast your net on the right side. And you know, that word cast, you look it up. I don't have that in front of me. But it means to cast away from you, to throw it. It means to put it out. You know, and the Lord said, I want you to take your net and I want you to cast it. And you're going to find. Cast it right where I tell you to cast it. And I want you to let it go. Now, he didn't tell them that. They knew that part. Throw your net out there and then let it go. Let it go. And you'll find. You know, this morning, I believe the Lord would have a lesson like that for us too. Cast what you have where the Lord tells us to cast it. Cast your burden on the Lord, one scripture says, and He will sustain you. You know, He doesn't say, I'm going to sustain you if you keep your burden. He says, cast your burden on the Lord, and He will sustain you. You know, this morning, let's cast our burden on the Lord. Let's cast our fear. Let's cast our future. Let's cast our troubles. Let's cast our persecution. Let's cast our feelings. Let's cast the feelings of what we think someone else feels. Let's cast what's happening in the government. You know what? The Lord wants us to cast those things, cast our way upon Him. And He said, He will sustain you. The Lord will sustain you. Now, He told these fishermen, He said, I want you to cast your net on the right side. Now, you fished all night long. They were tired. They didn't feel like mustering up the strength and courage to get out there and do this again because they couldn't do it on shore, so they had to go back out. And sailing, rowing, whatever, they were tired. But the Lord said, if you'll do it this way, you'll have plenty. And so you'll find. And so they went back out and they cast it out and they let go of it. And do you know that the blessing of the Lord came upon it? And then they had so many fish, they couldn't hardly pull it in. And if you look on down in verse 7, it says, therefore, oh no, let's see. Well, therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. You know, John was able to recognize it's the Lord. The Lord is telling us here. This is the Lord that's appearing unto us. And you know, sometimes it has to be a revelation to us, doesn't it? It's the Lord. It's the Lord. He said, cast your net out there on the other side. They were surprised to see the Lord in this place. And now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat upon him. Anyway, verse 8 goes on to say, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits. About 300 feet or so. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Do you know, they just had an abundance. They had more than they knew what to do with then, nearly. It was full. It was full because the Lord said, cast your net over here. You know, this morning, I believe the word of the Lord is telling us, cast your burden on the Lord, and He'll sustain you. And He'll make you more than a conqueror. In fact, they toiled all night for nothing. They worked their heads off, as you say, and didn't have a thing. And He said, do it my way. And they did.
Yes.
And they had an abundance because the blessing of the Lord came upon it. Folks, where we are blessed is when we do it God's way. Cast your burden on the Lord and give it to Him. And take our hands off of things and let the Lord have it. Just let Him have His way. Just find out what His way is. Lord, what are you? What's your thoughts in these things? Because that's the way I want to do it. Many times people put their own hand to the things. And they get in there and pretty soon their soul is so full of troubles. And so full of wrangling. And so full of anger. And so full of troubles. So full of fears. So full of regrets. And all of these things. And they're full. They're full. And the Lord's saying, I'll fill your net up. I'll give you exactly what you've been looking for. But you've got to cast it. Cast it away from you. When you're tired, you don't feel like it. No, I can't deal with it. I can't think about it. I don't want to. Cast it.
Yes.
Cast it on the Lord. And then He'll take it for us this morning. Just a few more thoughts here. Oh, how the Lord wants to give us those good things. In Psalms 55 and 22, I guess that's the scripture. I wasn't sure if I had that written down or not. But Psalm 55 and 22, this is a good scripture to just mark down. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Do you know that's a promise from God? Now, what He has committed to us by the Holy Spirit is His Word. His thoughts, His ways, His promises, He has committed unto you and me. And so it says here, He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. What a blessed promise this morning. Look at 1 Peter 5 and 7. Casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you.
Let's see.
Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Do you know this morning the Lord wants us to cast our care on Him? All of it?
Yes.
All of our care. All of our care He wants us to cast on Him. Our afflictions. You know, Paul, tell me how Paul could refer to being beaten, to being stoned to death, to being shipwrecked, to experiencing being hunted so many times for his life. And all of those things, and he referred to it as the light afflictions. How could he do that? Because he wasn't carrying them himself. Because if he would have been, he would have been in constant pain, fear, trouble. His mind would have been distressed. He would have been harmed for life. He would have been distressed beyond measure. And yet, his life in danger every day, many days anyway, and constantly in trouble, in jail for years. Paul spent years in jail. Do you know that? He spent years in jail, and more than once he spent time. And you know what? He got beat a bunch of times. Paul got beat, and it wasn't a little whipping with a belt. He got beat. Blood ran down his back. And you know what he said? Ah, these light afflictions. How could he say such a thing? Because he wasn't carrying them. They beat him. And you know what? They stoned him. And you know what? It says when they stoned him, he got up and he went, I believe it was to Derby the next day or so. I think it was the next day. And then he began to preach the gospel there. And he began to tell people about the goodness of the Lord there too. That's because of the grace of God that Paul experienced in his life. And I want to encourage us this morning to commit our way unto the Lord, and that He will sustain us. Just one or two more here. In Psalm, did I read Psalms 37 and 1 to 6? Did I read that? Well, I read part of it. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. You know, and then it goes on to talk about the other things we... Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of what? Because of anything. But it says here, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Folks, the pre-work is that we commit our way to the Lord. And then we don't get in these places where anger fills our heart and where we begin to do things and to do evil, as this says. Fret not ourselves in any wise to do evil, but trust in the Lord always, folks. There's a lot of other scriptures we could bring. We just have these few, and there's a number of others we could use. But I'm thinking of... In Philippians 4 and 6, I want to finish with this perhaps. It says here to be careful for nothing. Do you know what that word careful? It's talking about don't worry about anything. That's what it's saying. Don't worry about anything. Don't fret and be anxious and all uptight. That's what Scripture says. It's not what I'm saying. This is what it says here. Be anxious or be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you know that our hearts and our minds being kept, this is a learning process. This is why we preach the Word of God. This is why we learn of Him. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." That's the Lord said that, didn't He?
Yes.
And He says here that our the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. That's what to think about, isn't it? Now, if we don't commit ourselves unto the Lord, we're going to be thinking about the next beating. We're going to be dreading it all the time. We're going to be dreading what might happen or might not happen. And the Lord says here, I want you to think on these things. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now, I want to look a little further down. As we read down, and Paul goes on to say, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul was, you've seen me do this. I'm not telling you something that we haven't done. That's what Paul's telling them. And the God of peace shall be with you. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want. I know that you couldn't send anything at that time. But he said, for I have learned. Listen to what Paul said. He did not have this the day he got saved. I'm persuaded of it. I'm persuaded Paul learned just like you and I learned. He learned from experience. He learned from the preaching of the word. He learned from the Holy Spirit speaking to him and training him. He said, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know, I find this more and more. I'm not saying that every time I never trouble my mind, but I will tell you, I'm learning. And I've learned a lot from what I used to know, because I know that God is, and I know that He is able. He is able to keep that I've committed unto Him against that day. The Lord is able to keep my life. He is able to give me strength when I have none. He is able to heal my soul when I have needs. He is able when I'm completely disillusioned and I don't understand what's going on. He's still able to keep me. He's able to keep my body. He's able to keep my mind. He's able to keep my things. He's able to keep. And if he takes those things away, you know what? I don't know when my stuff will burn down. I don't know when things. But you know what? I know He's able to keep it, isn't He? And if He doesn't, that's not where our heart lies, is it, folks? We commit ourselves unto Him. And then let God have His ways and His things. And when we do that, we'll come home with a net full of fishes. That we there's no comparison to it. And so I see the things, you know, Paul, he left a life of luxury, ease, and honor. Paul left that for beatings, for troubles, for many things. And Paul on purpose left that, knowing what it was going to cost him, because he was the perpetrator of so many of those things himself upon other Christians. So when he became a Christian, he knew what it was going to cost him, especially in the place he was in. But you know, Paul said, you see all through his writings. And then at the end of the way, he says, I'm ready to be offered now. I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And so, saints, I just want to encourage all of us to learn to keep the faith. To learn in whatsoever state we are, at that point, to be content. And to learn how to keep our mind and cast our cares upon the Lord. Because, see, our mind doesn't want to do that. It wants to dwell on all these things. It just wants to. But, you know, it's just like those men that had to take their nets when they were so tired, when they didn't feel like it. And they had to cast those nets over the side. They had to row back out, maybe. And then they knew they were going to have to come back in and all of this. But the Lord said, do it. And when they did it, a dynamic began to work. The blessing of the Lord. The blessing that Abraham had. The blessing that Paul had. The blessing that Peter had. The blessing of God's people today began to happen. And suddenly, there was more than they could ever take in. I can't believe what the Lord's done. Folks, it's that way this morning. And I want to urge you, every one of us this morning, to not be afraid. Not be afraid, but count Him able. Count Him able to keep the things that we commit to Him. Whether they're things or whether they're spiritual things, whether it's life, whether it's death, whether it's present, whether it's future, whether it's past, whatever those things are, count Him able to keep those things, that our mind does not have to dwell on them all the time. Our mind doesn't have to be centered and taken upon those things. And then we find ourselves in a place, where is my victory? Where is my grace? Where is my, I'm ashamed of myself. We find ourselves, if we are not careful, the devil would like to get us in that place, wouldn't he? Because we did not cast it upon the Lord.
Yes.
So this morning, just want to encourage us. Remember the scripture. I want to read one more scripture. Jeremiah 17 and 8. Because I love the scripture so much. I had it written down here. Jeremiah 17 and 8, starting at 7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. Folks, this is very real.
Yes.
This is not something that the Bible just says, but the Lord wants us to chew on it, meditate upon it, believe it. Let it begin to affect our life, to grow in our faith and our strength, our belief in the Lord. And He says here, for He shall be as a tree. Now, it doesn't stop there. As a tree planted by the waters. Now in Oklahoma, we know what that means. Now out here, you've got trees everywhere. But there's parts of Oklahoma that when you drive out through there and you see trees, you know that it's by a creek. There's a creek over there. Way out in that field, there's a creek because you see trees doing this. And there's no more trees. And that's about it. But He says that we will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. The man that trusteth in Him, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. What's that mean? The tree won't even know when the heat comes? How is it? Are we not going to become embittered? Are we not? Is the heat not going to make us to faint away? No. He says, they shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green. And not be careful, shall not be careful in the year of drought. When there's no water, there's nothing coming down. You know what? Some trees have their roots deep enough, but when the water don't come on the top, they still flourish. There's trees like that. And the Lord said, the man that trusteth in the Lord, he'll be like that this morning. I want to give you that hope. Folks, the Lord wants our life to be blessed. Not when things are going good, but all the time. He wants His word to be real, to be rich, to be life. And shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. And that next verse isn't so far from this. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Why do people do the grievous and evil things they do? Because their heart is far from God. Because instead of trusting in God, you find their heart is involved in the things of this life. Far from trusting, far from casting upon the Lord, far from yielding fully to the Lord. The Lord wants our heart to be yielded to Him. He wants us to give our things to Him, our thoughts to Him, ourself to Him, our hopes, our dreams, our fears, and everything. And then when we do, we'll be like that tree planted by the rivers of water. Y'all pray for us too.